what it is.
This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor.
And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering.
Oh, yeah.
Episode of Hard Factor presented by Barstool News Network. It is Thursday, February 6th, 2020. We've got a juicy lineup today. First, Wes is going to give us a Trump date. What's going on in Trump's world, Wes?
Lots of winning. Lots of winning.
So more of the same, I guess, more of the regular. And then Mark, Pat, and I will do a lightning round of other headlines. Mark and Pat, you got anything exciting coming at us?
Yeah, I got a soft corner.
Yeah, I do too, actually. Oh, couple soft corners.
Double soft corner?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's going to be a sad lightning round because I've got a coronavirus update and then a story I thought would be happy.
Let's put a positive spin on it,
Will. Got something soft and something hard.
Let's put a positive spin on it.
All right. Well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, we'll find out when we get there.
It's just justice at work. Nothing sad about justice, Will.
Yeah, no, sometimes there can be a lot of sad things about justice. Wes, get us going.
I'll tell you who's sad today. It's the Democrats. We have a big Trump date for you. And this guy, our 45th president in the United States, had an incredible span over the past 48 hours, all going his way, all making the Democrats look like idiots, especially Nancy Pelosi. What a loon she's proven to be. Freaking whack job.
What did she do?
What did she do?
I'm just kidding.
The rip.
I'm just kidding. You see, she pre-ripped it.
Oh, she that
there's video evidence that she pre-ripped it, so she like when Hulk Hogan pre-rips his shirt so he can tear it off completely
because the paper was too thick fingers,
like,
for her frail
like a cheater,
fingers,
like a phone book cheater.
Yeah, there's multiple video shots of her pre-ripping it, so she could rip it.
She's
cleanly.
A nut. Yeah. All right, first on Tuesday night, of course, Trump delivered his State of the Union address, and if you are following Unpredicted, hopefully you made some cash on those markets. But let's go over the speech for those who missed it. Like all great speeches, Trump planted human PowerPoint slides into the audience that he could point to as examples of his policy successes, like Tony Rankins, a recovering addict and military veteran who found work as part of his Opportunity Zone program, which allows rich investors to invest in poor neighborhoods and not pay taxes on the capital gains.
Recovering addict and veteran. Was he a minority too? Because that's a lot of boxes.
He sure was, Mark. African American.
Wow. And his company doesn't pay taxes. Just incredible.
Yeah, capital gains. So, Trump also touted his excellent skills at creating jobs and praised himself for the country's lowest unemployment rate for Hispanics, African Americans, and Asians, Asian Americans in history. He also used a human slideshow for sympathy as he talked immigration and blamed California's sanctuary law. So he had a grown man whose brother was killed by an illegal immigrant stand up for all to see the devastation that illegal immigrants can bring to a family when that illegal immigrant turns murderous, like anyone who turns
murderous. That was a crazy moment when he was talking about how he's going to allow people to sue, families to sue the sanctuary cities. The white pantsuit crowd was... they were shook.
Kind of the,
did he play?
That was a weird one. Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
The whole thing was insane. It was like a fucking game show.
Did he play the Super Bowl commercial? His Super Bowl commercial.
Did Trump? Oh, no, play
not,
it?
With the, not with, during the lady, with the lady he got out of jail. He should have just played
at the state
it. Yeah, should have just played it.
Yeah, it was crazy though, Pat. You're right. What's his name? The guy who was running, Tim Ryan. He walked out and he called it professional wrestling. Because it was so like staged. Pelosi and Trump were obviously, it was like watching a pro wrestling back and forth.
Do you cover the guy who got kicked out? I don't want to step
no,
on you.
No, okay. I didn't.
Yeah, a guy got kicked out. Not horrible night for Pelosi. One of Pelosi's guests was a father of, his daughter died in the Parkland shooting, which is terrible. Mm-hmm. And when Trump was talking about gun rights, he started shouting and he got kicked out.
Oh,
so okay. Not a great night for Pelosi. That guy got kicked out, and then
that's going to be on camera forever.
She ripped the paper.
Yeah. Her reactions the entire time he was speaking is going to be on camera forever. Like I know in the moment it probably felt good for her, but it wasn't. It's not going to.
No,
age
I mean,
well.
I don't think she gives a shit if it's on camera or not.
Do you think that was 100% a reaction to him not shaking her hand?
No, not at all. Because she introduced him instead of standing up and saying, "I have the distinguished pleasure of introducing the President of the United States," which is what pretty much everyone has said in every State of the Union ever. She stood up and was like,
"Yeah,
the President of the United States." Yeah. She just fucking hates it. But like, I don't think she's bummed that she was in the back mean bugging, like they don't like each other, whatever. And that was
she looked like a petulant little child. I mean, did you watch the speech?
I watched the speech.
She looked ridiculous.
Well, like, what is she supposed to do? Look. Like clap and like smile ridiculous. If she's not happy?
No, just sit there and don't fucking say anything. Yeah, like yeah. She looked ridiculous.
Just sit there and don't clap.
She looked absurd.
Understood, but that was a fucking ridiculous spectacle of situation.
On something I think
he did an Oprah. Well, he did an Oprah situation where it was like, yes, Lieutenant so and so hasn't seen his family in 4 months, and here he is.
Well, yeah, look, here's something.
Yeah, but hey, Pat, imagine if I didn't ever say anything on this show and I just like gave weird facial reactions to every fucking thing you guys said. Didn't say a word. That'd be pretty
weird.
She
should have been more professional. But here's something we can all agree on. We should get that like British guy who announced Trump, the guy like when he walked out. Did you guys see him?
It,
he had like a old school, like when you announce a king style guy, he came out.
Yeah, he does that every time. Yeah.
Like a crier.
That guy was awesome.
Yeah. Crier, yeah.
Yeah, we need to get one of those guys for us.
Everyone needs a crier, but us first.
Yeah.
Anyway, he also proposed new legislation with the help of his human bullet points, like he proposed, like his proposed plan to give tax cuts to individuals who contribute to scholarship funds. He then had a young girl and mother stand up like they were on Ellen, surprising them with a full scholarship for the youngster. And Andrew Yang must have been shitting himself with jealousy that he didn't get to give anything away on live TV like Trump was. And of course, the most genius play, like Pat said, a classic surprise reuniting of a military family led by Sergeant First Class Townsend Williams.
That's awesome.
Who surprised his family as the crowd chanted USA, USA. And what a fucking moment. Does Trump know how to hold a normally boring speech or what? Giveaways, reunions, Asians, incredible.
I mean, it was pretty run-of-the-mill for a State of the Union, I thought, besides the Pelosi-Trump stuff.
I mean, it was not run-of-the-mill. You don't have, like, fucking gags at a State of the Union tactic, like, traditionally.
Yeah, most presidents do. They have plants in the crowd, and they talk. Yeah.
It was shorter.
Almost all of them,
it was shorter than his last one, but it was over, like, it was, like, 70-something minutes, and he got, like, an applause every 40 seconds on average. There was, like, 135 applauses.
Yeah. But anyway, like we said, not everyone was impressed as Nancy Pelosi, the witch over his left shoulder, mumbled and shook her head throughout the speech, finally standing and ripping up the speech in front of everyone in a play that was certainly and clearly pre-orchestrated. That speech could have said that we have discovered the fountain of youth, and Nancy, we want you to take the first drink, and she still would have ripped up the speech. Perhaps she was just thinking about how bad she was going to get stomped in the Senate the next day, which brings us to impeachment.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, you getting to impeachment, you got to wrangle us in. You got to move this along.
How did she get impeachment? She didn't get stomped in the Senate. She's not in the Senate. You mean
her articles of impeachment got stomped in the Senate.
Yeah. That's a stomping.
Can you move along? You're upsetting Pat.
I'm not a fan of either of these motherfuckers, but I applaud Pelosi.
You love Pelosi.
I don't love Pelosi.
What happened with the Senate trial? What happened with the Senate trial?
Anyway, Pat, it's finally fucking over. And guess what? Trump is not guilty, not the father. And the lie detector determined it doesn't fucking matter anymore. Final impeachment numbers were pretty much as expected with the final vote. Senators voted 48-52 on abuse of power and 47-53 on obstruction.
And one career suicide.
Yeah. So if you divide by two and carry the middle finger, nope, still nowhere near two-thirds required. Sorry, Pat. The big news of impeachment though, was Mitt Romney, old handsome, extremely religious, to a point that I had no idea until I heard him talk today, decided to vote guilty on the charge of abuse of power, something he announced 2 hours before the vote.
He's not going to get reelected, right?
Like, no,
Mitt,
he's done.
No, he'll get reelected, absolutely.
No chance.
You think?
Right?
I don't know.
He's got the strength of the Mormons. He's got his Mormon underpants on.
He's popular in his own state, but he's very unpopular in the Republican Party.
Also, most of his constituents are his blood relatives, so he's fine.
Mitt Romney's
that helps in Utah, right?
Mitt Romney's like and his crew are going to be having some rough lunches at Capitol Hill.
Why did he do this?
You're not allowed to sit in the table.
He voted. Yes, I don't like him. That's what he voted on. I think that's it.
I heard an interview with Mitt Romney today or yesterday, and he was talking about that he was going on and on about how he took an oath before God, and that was what drove him to, he couldn't in his religious conscience vote, you know, the other way because he was scared of the consequences
of God. It was God. Yeah. It wasn't the fact that Trump makes fun of him all the time.
He sounds like a nut job.
He's a nut job.
Yeah.
He's a big, big nut job. So, of course.
Talk about Mitt Romney.
Yep. All right. Absolutely. So, of course, you know, that really chapped Cocaine Mitch's ass. That was pretty much it. I mean, it's over. No Dems switch sides, as some were suspected to. Mitch McConnell weighed in after declaring victory, saying impeachment was a colossal political mistake for the Democrats. The president has the highest approval rating since he's been in office. Every one of our people in tough races is in better shape today than they were before the impeachment trial started. And I'm kind of envisioning like the Republican senators are having one of those old white guy parties where they're all in dark socks with those like, sock suspenders on, baby blue boxers and white undershirts chasing around
prostitutes. Well, they rope-a-doped them. Huh? They rope-a-doped Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff.
Yeah,
they rope-a-doped the fuck out of it.
Whiskey,
of
cigars,
Pelosi
and questionable jokes galore.
Yeah. It's a party. So, but it's over, thank fucking God. And
are you done?
I'm done.
All right.
I'm done.
Thank God.
I'm done, thank God.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, okay. Thank God.
That was like 17 minutes.
It was.
Okay, guys, remaining in the soft corner is PETA.
Sitting in the corner of the Macho Man Randy Savage is quite an honor.
PETA's in the soft corner
again.
Come on. Seems like they want to just get a soft corner shout out like once a month. Like they think it's a good thing. They're like, hey guys, remember us? Put us back in the soft corner.
They were in there earlier this week
for
Punxsutawney Phil.
Well, that was in January. Now it's February. So
okay.
and the robot groundhog. Is that what you guys are saying?
It's once a month.
Yeah. The robot groundhog.
They've been in several times this year. This time, a spokesperson at Shit for Brains, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, that's PETA, wanted to make it clear that pet is a derogatory word, and we should be calling our pets companions, and I guess fucking them, because
wait.
I have never had a companion that I haven't fucked.
Derogatory towards whom?
Yeah, the pets.
Towards the non-human entities that are pets?
It's going to hurt their feelings if you call them a pet.
That's exactly.
No, what hurts their feelings is not giving them dinner.
Right?
No, that's the reason why, right?
Yeah.
That's why PETA wants you. It hurts your feelings.
Right. Jennifer White of PETA explained the group's theory on the word pet, suggesting it's a bad term, that it should be switched with more inclusive terms like companion and human carer. How about no, Scott? I care for my five cats. Human carer, are you kidding me? My cats can't even turn on the sink to drink water to survive or clean up their own shit. They're not caring for themselves. They're not caring for me.
Well, and also here's another thing. The pet's never involved in the conversation when you're talking about them.
Right.
They can't talk to you.
Exactly. Until they can talk, this means nothing.
I mean, my television's more of a companion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, that's not true. You love your cats.
I do love my cats.
You love all five
of
your cats.
Of course I do. White also went on to say, a lot of people at home who have dogs or cats will call them pets and refer to themselves as owners. And this implies that the animals are a possession, like a car, for example. When you refer to animals not as the living beings as they are, but as an inanimate object, it can reflect our treatments on these animals and they can get offended. Well, it's sad. So this is how a conversation goes, I think, between White and her guests. Hi, come on in. Don't mind my companion, Hugo. He's just trying to get to know you by sniffing your genitals. Yeah, I escorted him to the doctor's yesterday, where we both agreed he should be completely castrated. So I paid for his testicles to be removed from his body. And the thing is, he's just too stupid to not lick the wound where his balls used to be. So I put this enormous cone that's the size of his body around his head. And it's going to stay that way for a week. He takes care of me, really, though. That's why I call him my human carer.
Mm-hmm. It's like the exact.
You fucking kidding me?
This is the exact same way we treat the elderly. It's like no one likes to hang out with the elderly.
If somebody talked like that to me, I think I would just be like, "So do you have sex with your dog?"
Well, absolutely. That's why they call it a companion. Like, that's my only thought.
So let's
imagine there's a lot of birthday parties for pets. Companions.
That's hard too for these people because the dog has to give consent. You know.
I think PETA's about one.
Yeah, I don't think they.
No.
Go towards the red ball if you consent.
They're very hypocritical at PETA. PETA's about,
eat this treat if you consent.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, Pat. PETA's about 1 year away from declaring that human carers should have the right to vote. Could you imagine the next Iowa caucus 4 years from now where there's a bunch of, I would call them animal owners, not sure what PETA calls themselves when they own a pet, but they just are offering up treats and toys for the pets to come to the area of the candidate they want to win. Come over here to the Yang Gang. Like, come on.
It'd be like the Iowa caucus.
Yeah.
Just like it.
It might go actually.
I guess,
it might go better.
If you're a pet owner, I guess you're a rescued human, right?
Mm-hmm.
They teach us, Will.
Who rescued who, Will?
Mm-hmm. All right, fuck that.
Exactly.
Hey, guys, not all rose bouquets are created equal. So if you're looking for some roses, like here to my right here, that are guaranteed to impress, head to my friends, our friends at 1-800-Flowers.com. 1-800-Flowers has some of the freshest, top quality roses for prices you won't believe. Take care
Pat,
of all...
Those, Those are plump roses. Oh my God! I can see them from Nevada. They look very, very nice.
You wouldn't believe, Will. You wouldn't believe the way these things smell.
I've never seen a red like this. It's beautiful.
Great. It's truly rose red, guys. So take care of all your rose needs today with the official florist of Valentine's Day. That's 1-800-Flowers. Right now, if you order early, you can get 18 roses for just $29.99, or upgrade to 24 roses for just $10 more. That's insane. We just got some of these sick bouquets here in the Hard Factor Studios, and these roses are the shit. They sent us so many roses. I'm probably going to shoot a video recreating my favorite scene from the 1999 film American Beauty, yeah, and send it directly to my Valentine, Hard Factor Mark.
All right.
And with the quality and denseness of these petals, I can sleep easy knowing the video won't be anything more than a soft R, and my integrity will be maintained.
Yeah, you can totally cover your jennies for $29.99.
100%, guys.
You can cover it all.
So look forward to that, Mark. Bouquet prices are going up soon, so take advantage today. How do you do it? Well, you go to 1-800-Flowers.com to order 18 roses for $29.99, or you do the upgrade, $10 more, 24 roses. The ladies will like that.
Yeah.
And when you're on the website, you click the radio icon, enter the code HARDFACTOR, and that's how you get the deal.
So I think the upgrade for $10 more to 24 roses is you upgrading from vaginal to anal sex. If that's
what you want, Mark.
If it's what you, it's whatever you want when you upgrade.
A lot of people aren't going for that.
It's nice to have the option, I admit.
It gives you the option.
It's nice to have the option. Anyway, guys, that's 1-800-Flowers.com. Use the code HARDFACTOR. Get that deal. Do it now, because if you don't, you're going to be in the doghouse.
It's true.
Yes. Yes, you will. Order those flowers.
The companion house.
The companion house.
Thank you, Wes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take it over to something less fun than flowers. If you thought, man, this coronavirus is probably just going to peter out and go away like I did, that was misguided thinking. And I am glad that I'm never going to be trained to be a doctor, because I would be a shitty doctor.
So you just don't listen to a word I say on this podcast? Just don't
listen. I thought you were overblowing this thing. Turns out you weren't. On Wednesday alone, China reported 3,700 new cases of the coronavirus and 73 new deaths, bringing the overall infection totals to over 28,000 cases reported in mainland China, and the death toll to almost 600 in mainland China so far. That's only a few weeks in.
If you got some of the DMs I got for being the coronavirus guy, you wouldn't be able to sleep at night.
And, Will, I do want to say one thing. You would be a shitty doctor, but you'd be a real fun doctor, because you'd be one of those doctors that doesn't judge. You know what I mean?
Anything goes until you're dead.
You'd be like, have a couple more pops.
Unfortunately.
You only live once.
I got a DM from someone that got a notification from a Chinese national that worked at a crematorium and said that 15 busloads of dead bodies, 10 at a time, came.
They're only used to two busloads.
Those rumors, okay, there's tons of those, sir.
Tons of them.
I'm saying what's reported by the Chinese government to the media outlets, right? So almost 4,000 of those 28,000 active cases in China of the coronavirus are considered critical. So the death toll is going to continue to climb. The official, the unofficial, whatever, doesn't matter. A lot of people, it's a bad situation. The U.S. has 12 known cases total. 9 people have been detained at our borders due to the new travel ban of trying to keep people with the coronavirus out. And hundreds of Americans who were evacuated from Wuhan, that's the epicenter, are being held in quarantine in military bases in California until they can be certified for reentry. So the U.S. is doing a pretty good job trying to keep it out of our borders. Only 12 cases in the country, not so bad.
Hell yeah, we are. Why do you think we built the wall, man? As practice.
That's right. Yeah, that wall's really paying off now. Hong Kong is also doing a 14-day quarantine, as they have 21 cases confirmed in the city, and they do not want any more. Same with Taiwan. Basically, China is aware they need to isolate themselves and contain the spread as much as they possibly can, because they need to contain it even within their own country. And Chinese experts expect that it may take about 6 weeks to stop the spread from continuing to grow. And then, of course, after that 6-week period, if you can stop it from continuing to grow, then you can deal with all of the thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are infected.
It's scary stuff.
Tell you what,
it's scary stuff for people in China.
They'd be able to do that in 4 weeks if just everyone not sick got on the other side of their wall, which is a pretty impressive one, if I know my history correctly.
I don't know if that.
See what I'm saying?
I don't know if that checks out.
See what I'm saying?
No, I don't think so.
You already have the wall. Think about it.
Well, right, but they only have it on, like, between them and one country. It's leading to nightmare situations, like the Diamond Princess cruise ship that's being held off the coast of Japan in quarantine. All right, this is 3,700 people on a cruise ship. who got held because 10 people tested positive for coronavirus, so they can't go back to Japan. Now 20 are sick with coronavirus.
They're going overboard if I'm on that fucking
cruise ship. So
they're
all just being held, 4,000 people on a fucking cruise ship, just continually getting coronavirus. And they don't know what to do with them. That's an insane situation.
That's a ship from hell.
I know what you do
with
them.
That's a ship from hell.
You Royal Rumble them. It's over the top rope for those
guys.
Like
all the vents are connected and
that's
shit.
That's horrible.
It's insane, dude. I can't even imagine.
I'm going
that
on a cruise in July.
Place on
Fuck.
Earth.
Yeah. Why haven't we had Donnie on to talk about this? Is it because he's just going to yell at me because I'm overreacting?
No, he's in America. We could talk to him. I know that he's been posting about what's happening. Basically, he's getting texts from people in China like, stay the fuck out. Like, do not come back. Yeah, so it's just a terrible situation. Hong Kong Airlines are asking employees to take unpaid days, 3 unpaid days off of work at least, because Chinese travel economy has essentially halted altogether. And that's a huge economy. Basically, you know, that's the first part. The travel economy is going to be fucked, but the whole economy is going to be fucked. That, if all these people are sick and dying.
That's also why communism is terrible. 3 unpaid days, that would never happen in America. See,
you see, did you talk about the airlines, Hong Kong Air? Is that what you were talking about?
That was the last thing I
three
said. They're
weeks,
asking employees to...
3 weeks unpaid.
Oh, 3 weeks.
Damn. Unpaid for Hong Kong Air.
That's fucked up.
And that's not great.
What are you going to do, though? Because the thing about that is that you, even if you work the days, they're not going to have the money to pay you because they're not going to bring anything in.
That's sad. Now people that are paycheck to paycheck.
Right. Basically, it paints the picture. The economy is going to dry up there because of how horrible.
It's kind of like when the government shut down here and all non-essential people got like furloughed and stuff. But like now you're furloughed and you might get coronavirus as well.
It's not a good situation. I was going to grab an internet comment for this story since it's obviously a very big story, but it's literally nothing like Mark was saying yesterday or the day before, where it's either people overreacting and saying very stupid and mean stuff about Chinese people and just, you know, the way that people get sick in general, transmit viruses,
right?
Or it's people saying that it's nothing, it's not even as bad as the flu. So people are just fucking crazy. Everybody, you know, just hope that China can stop the spread of it. Hope that your country, if you're an American, we keep doing a good job of keeping it out, or other countries keep doing a good job of keeping it out.
The internet's been a bit of a cesspool with the coronavirus. You pick a side with the Iowa caucus, with the trial, Trump trial. Bit of a cesspool out there.
Well, I get the partisanship of politics and like the Trump trial or whatever, but like there's no side to be on. Like, just hope that they can contain.
Wish well for the Chinese. And
Do we want to talk about? We want to do another soft corner, or we talk about gambling?
You go for it, Pat, quickly, though.
All right, guys, today I'm throwing Stephanie Alvarado and her two piece of shit cousins in the fucking soft corner.
Sitting in the corner of the macho man Randy Savage is quite an honor.
Why? Well, because Stephanie Alvarado's 5-year-old daughter, Sophia Larson, died from something that probably made her soft mother jealous, and that is acute meth poisoning.
Yes, that she definitely wanted to get that.
She wanted that. Yeah, little Sophia was thirsty and mistakenly drank from her garbage-ass mother's meth bong that was just lying out while her and her loser neck-tattooed cousins, Daniel Alvarado and Karen Celabros Romo, were on a drug bender. Why were they on a drug bender? Well,
they like drugs.
No. They, other than the fact that they were trying to cope with the weight of not contributing to society whatsoever, Stephanie was all sad because she lost her job for, wait for it, a failed drug test.
Nice. There you go.
That's how she dealt.
Wait, so why would you have meth in a bong? I don't understand.
Oh, no, Will, that's next level. You want it fast? You want to be blowing clouds?
Well, don't be such a square, man.
Yeah, bro. You
Jesus.
Get with the times.
What's the point of dissolving meth into water?
What
are you going to drink?
I mean,
smoke
it out
of
the bong. No, you
smoke a rock of meth.
You smoke it out of the bong, and then the residuals fall into the little...
Don't you know anything?
No.
Anyway, guys.
Are you, like, coughing?
Yeah. Well, what are you?
You need a water bong.
Let me fucking finish this soft corner.
All right. Whoops.
All right. Look, after tasting the meth bong water, little Sophia spat it out and said, quote, yucky. To which her sloppy mom probably replied, how dare you waste perfectly good meth bong water? The little girl then reported seeing, quote, monsters and demons
from the
very, very high levels of meth that she had ingested. What? Now, I know they say that they don't give you a parenting manual when you bring your kid home from the hospital, but you'd think that the trio would have pursued the logical next step of calling 911 when their 5-year-old is so methed out that she's taking apart electronics.
Now, then they'd get in trouble.
Yeah, but not these walking anuses. They didn't seek medical help, but they did do the next best thing. They prayed over the child and began reading from the Bible. Sorry, guys, I don't think the New Testament covers this one.
High on meth?
Uh-huh. Must have been an interesting Bible read. Sophia's dad, who said he split from his ex because of her drug problems, but still thought it okay to leave his defenseless child with her, had some really poignant things to say on the matter while talking to Fox 31. He said, quote, if they would have taken her when they saw my daughter drank that, she might have been a little slow and not right in the head, but my daughter would still be here with me today.
Yeah, that's so sad.
Yikes. This is a dark one. Are you
I'm
done.
I'm done.
Holy fuck. All terrible. Right, guys. Jeez. Jesus Christ.
That's horrible for the family, everybody involved.
Yeah. Why they're in the corner.
All right, guys. It looks like Mayor Pete is going to win Iowa in a close one. It looks like it. 92% of the votes were tallied in the absolute disaster that is the Iowa caucus by the time of this recording, and Pete's up by 1% or 0.9% in state delegates. It's close. 8% is left out there to tally. Some of them are satellites, including colleges. It's got to be close. But hey, I have to say it's probably because of Wes and Will's interview with Mayor Pete in Iowa that got him this, is going to get him this slight win that we're predicting right now. Again, could change.
Yeah. Had
Bernie done that interview, though, it would have been a guaranteed win for him because he's only going to lose by a little bit. It would have been flipped.
Well, it's good for us either way. Mark, it's good for us either way because we all kind of picked Bernie. Like, you picked him hard on Iowa. The rest of us kind of soft picked Bernie on Iowa. And we did the Pete interview. So either way, we're the cause of the win.
Right. And like Bernie having done the interview and flipped it, that's what I did. I flipped my predicted shares in the Iowa market the second I saw Mayor Pete declare his win on Twitter a couple nights ago. So I had all my shares in Bernie, like you mentioned, Will, and then I saw Mayor Pete's tweet because I have his notifications turned on for Twitter, sold all my Bernie shares for a small profit, bought all my Pete shares cheap because people weren't trusting him or didn't read the tweet yet, and so far I've made about $750 in profit on that market. So that's nice.
Why didn't you let the other daddies in on that?
Well, did you have...
He did.
I did. I told you guys what I was doing the whole time, but I also throw $1,000 into a market, unlike you pussies that throw like $50
into
it.
Right, right.
No, it doesn't really matter.
My advice the whole time was stay out of Iowa because it was just too messy.
Can make money if you go to www.predictit.org/promo/hardfactor20 and create an account in just a few minutes and deposit at least $20. You get the free 20 to gamble with, no strings attached. By the way, Predictit is completely legal in all 50 states, and I'm starting to have my way with it a little bit, guys. That is, of course, if Pete wins. Back to Iowa real quick. You think Bernie is getting fucked, right, Will?
I think, yes. I think Bernie, I think here's what's happening in Iowa. Look, it is for sure WikiLeaked confirmed that the DNC tried to fuck Bernie out. Did fuck Bernie out of the nomination in 2016. All right. So why would you think with the way that the primary process is starting for the Democrats again in 2020, why would you think it's any different this time
around? No Hillary. That's why.
Except for Shadow Incorporated that was created by her staffers and did the app.
It wasn't about a centrist, Will. It was about Hillary Clinton.
They don't want, like, look, the DNC does not want Bernie to get the nomination. They didn't in 2016. They don't in 2020.
Yeah, the argument is the DNC wants a centrist, which is why people are saying they're pushing Pete. They're pushing
their
Biden.
Jaws also fucking fell off when Trump got elected. So the only guy that could beat Trump, in my opinion, is Bernie Sanders. And hopefully they'll wise up and identify that.
I think Pete can beat him.
I think that Bernie's going to get his shot because I still think he's going to get the nomination. You can bet on that, too. Also, real quick brag here. I wrote a blog on State of the Union address and on how to bet it. And I went 4 for 5 on my predictions. So check out our gambling blogs going forward.
Nice.
And now let's
talk. Our gambling blogs have been hot.
They have been hot. We're at least 75% overall. And now let's talk about the New Hampshire debate this Friday night. I think Will's going to blog it tomorrow, maybe, or Friday morning.
I'll do
Friday
it before
morning?
The debate. Friday morning.
So we'll
get all the
there.
Markets out. You can see it out on the blog. We'll have all the markets and our picks, at least my picks. This is a tease real quick.
I'm not going to give any predictions, but here are some of the markets for that debate on Friday. How many candidates will say millionaire, billionaire again? How many candidates will say Iowa? How many candidates will say healthcare? Who will have the most speaking time? Who will have the least speaking time? Yang! And go to www.predictit.org/promo/hardfactor20. Create your account. Deposit at least $20. Get the free $20. Start gambling with us now before the New Hampshire debates. You have to. Predictit is so fucking cool. I'm going to start calling it my companion. Sorry, Pete.
I'm looking forward to Yang being back.
Yeah,
Yang's back.
Yang's back.
That's right, because you can bet on him in lowest time. Also, the Iowa market. How many times people get that? That's amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. How many candidates will say Iowa? Zero.
Right. How many candidates?
0 through 7.
I'm going 2 on that one.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. I think it could be high. All right. Let's take it out with this last one. And I thought that I was going to end this show on a good feeling. I picked this out by the headline alone. lion raised by a baboon. And boy, did it ever disappoint. I thought it was going to be a beautiful tale of a young abandoned lion cub who was rescued by a wise and caring elder baboon monkey at Kruger National Park in South Africa, because that's what happened. There's a video of a male baboon carrying a lion cub and grooming him in a tree. So, and of course,
wait
I thought
a minute.
This is
how could this go wrong?
Because the lion's going to die.
No.
Well, oh, yeah, good intuition, Mark. So I thought this article was the smartest baboon ever. and he's about to be the king baboon. Yeah. He's going to train this lion. They're going to team up, and then they're going to run shit.
No,
you thought it was a Disney cartoon.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, that's until I read the interview with Park Ranger Kurt Schultz, who said this: the baboon was grooming the lion cub as if it was a baby baboon. Baboons are really strong animals, and when they're all excited and fighting over the lion cub, it could have been injured internally. The cub seemed very exhausted. I don't see any chance of this poor cub surviving. I have witnessed baboons viciously killing leopard cubs and have heard of baboons killing lion cubs before.
Great.
You guys tell that Will's been to South Africa.
That sounds like a South African Scottish blend.
It started Scottish, but then you fell right in the South African groove there.
I kept trying to get away from the Scottish. It just sneaks in. Yeah. So sorry about that. I thought...
just end it on that horrible note. That cub has a less than 1% chance of survival.
No, Mark, we can all pretend that the lion, cub, and baboon go on to train hard, work hard together, and eventually they take over their very own watering hole where all the other animals bring them snacks and they laugh and giggle together while they eat and drink water.
Sounds good. That's,
you're living in a fantasy world.
They ripped it to shreds and ate it.
Well,
I'm going to go smoke a meth bong.
You did a story about a girl drinking a meth bong. I'm going to try to just brighten it a little bit.
It was a soft corner, Will. I soft cornered the piece of shit.
PETA's not going to like this episode.
That's what I did.
All right. Well, let's imagine that they're having fun. And that's going to do it for Hard Factor today. Thank you for listening. As always, of course, we got Florida Man Friday coming tomorrow. And a Dem debate pre and post show for you, so get ready for that. But most importantly, have a great fucking day.
Our trio's down to two.
Oh.
The sweet caress of twilight. There's magic everywhere. And with all this romantic atmosphere, disaster's in the air. But how to make her see the truth about my past? Impossible. She'd turn away from me.
He's holding back, he's hiding. But what I can't decide. Why won't he be the king I know he is, the king I see inside?